bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up... If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-21. Sound like a jingle. 833-212. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me check the talking text line, see what's going on, see what folks is talking about. It's a shame that they allowed the last survivor of Tulsa to pass away without any reconciliation. And then that was from Ant. And not really a city girl said, yes, 100%, Dr. Ken, it's sick. Yeah. That's not true. I've never had an iPhone, Androids from Cricket over 17 years. Never paid more than $120 for a phone. That's why your phone calls don't work. Okay, I'm just kidding. 833-212-1017. You ever just been in one of them moods? Seriously, you ever been in one of them moods?
Number 5.
From JS Online. Former Milwaukee cop wins back his job after being fired for a role in the death of Keyshawn Thomas. A Milwaukee police officer, he's not a cop. Who wrote this story? Who wrote this story? David Cleary. Hey, David, they're police officers, not cops. You don't get to call them cops. Anyway, won his job back on last Friday after he was previously fired for his role in the in-custody death of a man who admitted to ingesting drugs and became physically ill before dying in a holding cell. Adam Miritato won the appeal after his firing with the city's fire and police commission over the death of Keyshawn Thomas, a 20-year-old who died in 2022 while in police custody. The former police officer was, and I'm skipping over the whole cop thing he wrote because it almost feels like it's written to be derogatory. But anyway, the former police officer was fired in May 2024 for his role as one of the arresting officers after the department determined he violated several rules during his interactions, including not calling for medical aid for Thomas. Three commissioners who comprised of the appeal panel unanimously overturned his firing, and instead, the panel gave him a 60-day suspension and dropped one of the violations he broke entirely. He was alleged to have broken entirely. If you drop it, he didn't break it. I'm not taking up for the cop looking at the rule of law or the rule of policy, I guess. Officer Meritato is hardened by the decision, heartened by the decision, not hardened. And he certainly learned his lesson, said Stephen McGaver, an attorney at Crivello, Nichols, and Hall, who represented the officer. He is looking forward to returning to his place as an officer with the Milwaukee Police Department. Commissioners cited Meritato's testimony and footage showing Donald W. Krueger, who was handling booking the night Thomas died, telling Meritato he would admit the man to the hospital as reasons why they made the change. Krueger and no other officer involved ultimately called for medical assistance for Thomas, despite him telling them he ingested drugs. "We believe you will come back and serve the city better," said Bree Spencer, one of the three commissioners who heard the appeal. Spencer was joined by commissioners Chris Snyder and Ramon Evans in making up the three-person panel that heard the appeal over 2 days. Thomas died in February 2022 after he was pulled over on the north side. 20-year-old was arrested in connection with an outstanding warrant and spent at least 16 hours in police custody before being found unresponsive in his cell. An autopsy showed he has an acute mix of drug intoxication. He was remembered as a happy and outgoing caretaker to a large family. Mark Thompson of Gingras, Thompson and Wax, who is one of the attorneys representing Thomas's family, slammed the decision. The family recently filed a civil suit against Meritato and the other officers involved. The attorney said, "I am shocked by the Fire and Police Commission that they would reverse a decision by the chief on an issue of who you can trust as a police officer when the conduct ultimately led to the death of Mr. Thomas. This is truly an unfortunate decision and micromanaging that should not be tolerated." They work for the chief. Oh, no, no, no. That's right. The chief works for them. Like, that's not micromanaging. With all due respect, and it's unfortunate that they lost their family member, the Fire and Police Commission tells the police chief what he can and can't do, or she can and can't do. Thomas's death has led to discipline for multiple officers involved, including the booking officer and another officer, Marco Lopez. Both were convicted of criminal charges related to his death. Meritato and Lloyd did not face charges. During the hearing, when asked if he would do anything different, Meritato said he would, and he blamed Krueger, the booking officer, for saying he would call medical assistance but not doing so. He apologized to the Thomas family. He said, "I wish I could have done better for him. This will weigh heavily on me for the rest of my life, and it's something I don't take lightly. I take responsibility for not calling medical." So appeal hearings like Meritato's are through the Fire and Police Commission and civilian oversight body for its police and fire. Actually, it's fire and police departments. The hearing is made up of three members of the commission and split into two phases. And then it goes on to explain it. Commissioners initially tried to give Meritato, 120-day suspension, but state law only puts the maximum significantly less than that. So they gave him 60 days, which was imposed because he was off the job for 2 years. So his record will reflect a 60-day rip for his part in this. So, all right. It's unfortunate. And I can understand how the family believes that that justice was not served. But we'll see. There's a civil lawsuit in place, and we'll see what happens.
Number four.
This also from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A 49-year-old man incarcerated at the Milwaukee County Jail, we've got it again, passed away yesterday. 49-year-old inmate at the Milwaukee County Jail died yesterday after experiencing a health crisis, according to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. The man, who was not named in the statement issued by the sheriff's office, had been booked into the jail on Friday after the Sherwood Police Department arrested him on three unspecified criminal charges. Monday evening, a nurse who works for the facility's on-site medical provider, WellPath, observed the man experiencing a health crisis. According to the statement, emergency protocol was carried out, including the use of Narcan, a medication administered in the case of a suspected opioid overdose. Staff transported the man, who was reported to have a pulse and was breathing, to two separate area hospitals before he died later on Tuesday. This is the first publicly reported death at the facility since 2023. And between 2022 and 2023, the sheriff's office reported 6 in-custody deaths at the jail, including 2 confirmed suicides. That's unfortunate. And, of course, they will get to the bottom of it, and they will do a autopsy, hopefully, so that they can determine how this person passed away.
Number 3.
So this is from The Hill. And now, granted, ever since I saw that opioid movie, I think it was on Hulu, I'm not a fan of Purdue Pharma. Like, huh? Dope Sick. I'm not a fan of Purdue Pharma at all. Like, every single thing you've ever hated about a big business, they broke it. So now they're asking the bankruptcy judge to accept the new settlement plan. Purdue Pharma has filed a new bankruptcy plan as part of a $7.4 billion settlement to resolve thousands of lawsuits over the company's alleged role in the opioid crisis months after the Supreme Court blocked a prior deal. So the bankruptcy company announced yesterday it had filed a Chapter 11 plan of reorganization in U.S. bankruptcy court for the Southern District of New York in June of last year. The Supreme Court blocked a settlement deal, finding that the Sackler family, who previously controlled Purdue Pharma, could not be released from liability under federal law, despite contributing a measly $6 billion to the settlement. Following the 2024 civil Supreme Court ruling, we doubled down on our commitment to work with our creditors to design a new plan that delivers unprecedented value to those affected by the opioid crisis. Today's filing is a major milestone in that effort. Really? $7.4 billion and the Purdue family put up like 6. Really? In January, Purdue Pharma and the Sacklers agreed in principle to pay a $7.4 billion settlement to resolve the multitude of lawsuits arising from the settlement by adding an additional $1.4 billion. Tuesday's court filing expands on this plan. They argue the reorganization is likely to succeed, writing the debtors' reorganization is plainly in the public interest and favored by a balance of the harms. The debtors' proposed plan will devote billions of dollars to public opioid abatement and creditor recoveries. I would be very happy if that company didn't exist. Is that mean? Yeah, I think so. I think so. But I'd be very happy if that company just, I don't know, wasn't there anymore.
Number 2.
From BlackEnterprise.com. So there was a CNBC Converge live event in Singapore. John Hope Bryant, CEO of Operation Hope, took a deep dive into the ways artificial intelligence and Sandra, I was thinking about you, where AI is going to have an impact on the American workforce. He was on a panel discussion. The event brings like executives and policymakers and thought leaders to talk about pressing issues. Bryant led the discussion for the session titled "The Future of Work in the Age of AI," moderated by CNBC's Julia Boorstin. Bryant was in good company with fellow industry leaders, President of Leasing North America, Newmark, Elizabeth Hart, and Peta Latimer, president of Mercer Asia. So the group talked about how AI is causing implications on employment, economic structures, in particular employees with limited access to career development opportunities. We're not spending enough time focusing on the bottom of the pyramid. Convenience store jobs are gone. Grocery store jobs are gone. This is not the future. This is right now. Now, according to CNBC, The financial literacy and economic empowerment nonprofit leader claimed AI will create waves of change, calling it a complete do-over of society. He warned about how AI will affect those who don't have education past high school unless something's done about it. He said, so if you have a high school education and limited relationship capital, and you don't have a government and a private sector that's prioritizing upskilling its people on AI, in 5 years, between 2025 and 2030, the world is going to pass you by. Interesting. The world is going to pass you by. You have got to have some type of AI in your future so you can make money. He recommended certain policies like tax incentives toward apprenticeships, financial literacy education, AI workforce training, in order to teach people how to properly use AI. As a result, employment rates could accelerate and would address the class divide that America has, making it more difficult for the working and middle class to climb up the ladder. He said, the problem we have today is you have all this wealth where money is creating more money, and money creating more money is more valuable than labor creating more money. It's easier to invest and have your money make money than it is to actually work.
Number one.
Well, you've heard it, but it's coming again. Southeastern Wisconsin faces an impact for weather with rain by midday and thunderstorms possible near the Wisconsin-Illinois state line. By evening, that's today, right now, showers become more sporadic, but wet roads are expected during rush hour. Rain will turn to snow around midnight, tapering off in the morning, and a wind advisory will start at 7 p.m. Wednesday, continue to 8 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Thursday. Gusts may reach 40 to 50 miles an hour, and the change from rain to snow may create slick conditions on roads before crews can respond. Milwaukee could see up to 1 inch of snow with slightly lower amounts near the state line. Higher snow totals up to 2 to 3 inches are likely north and west in the state. So what are we looking at? It's March. Week after next is April. And we still have snow in the forecast. Not only is that unconscionable, it's insulting.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Curly Q said, I'm behind on the feed, but I was never suckered by Apple. Just saying. Also, Dr. Ken, make sure you log out of the YouTube login. Watch this. Okay. I log out every day. But I know probably if I leave myself logged in, Sherwin probably goes in and does all kind of crazy stuff. I'm Dr. Ken. Anyway, that was my Sherwin. I'm Dr. Ken. So sometimes you have to. He almost sounds like, anyway, let me stop. Martin says his blankety blank should still been fired. The commission is trash. Well, listen to what they were talking about and listen to the, see if you can get the transcript of the meeting or something and hear what happened. Like, here's my question. And I'm not talking about this. I had nothing to do with this. So why is it there's never any redemption, any forgiveness to law enforcement? Fire department could let your house burn down. People could die and nobody would say anything about it. Cop makes a mistake, or 3-year cop leans on 25-year veteran who made a decision and said they were going to do something and then didn't do it, but yet you blame the officer because he should have what? Followed up to make sure the person who was the booker called the ambulance like he was supposed to? Like, huh? And so then you lose your job. When in fact, you probably should have got a 30 or 60 day rip because you should have followed up with the booker to say, hey, dude, did you do that? But we have this thing of zero tolerance. If you make one mistake, you fire everybody. But when the police come in your house to arrest a family member, we're supposed to be forgiving. We have to be understanding. Why is it only one way? Why is it always only one way? Your way. How about doing things right because it's actually the right thing to do? And firefighters are not accountable. I say this to myself over my career in Milwaukee. And, hey, Aaron Liskey, that's my dude, fire chief. Firefighters get away with a significant amount of stuff, I think, that police don't. This idiocy of higher standards, how is there a higher standard? You get 5 things before you lose your job and you get 12 things before. No, the law's the law. You get the same standards. You get the same laws. The same rule of law. If it's illegal, it's illegal. And if it's not, it's not. If it's a rule violation, it's a rule violation. If it's not, it's not. But to have 100% accountability is just ridiculous. 100%? Well, then we need to hold the public to 100% too. Every time you're arrested, you should have a trial. Every time you have a trial, it should be guilty or not guilty. Our courts will be backed up until our great-great-grandchildren are born. And we'll never get out of it. Val said, did you actually say something about forgiveness? And you can't even forgive Will Smith? I said, no. I'm mad at Will Smith. There's nothing to forgive because he didn't slap me. And I didn't slap him. And he didn't slap nobody I even care about. So I'm not bothered. I don't have to forgive Will Smith, but that don't mean I like him. I cannot like you for what you did, but I don't have anything to forgive. Like, he ain't my dude. Never met the man before. I just simply dislike what he did. That's all. And I find it interesting that always works with other people, but never works with us, with the individual. We can dish that out really well about forgiveness till somebody else wrongs us or does something to us, and then we're ready to snap and break off their neck. And they're perfectly okay with it. And firefighters are not accountable. I'm just saying that because I know firefighters. I'm just poking them. But this assumption that everybody should be fired because they got in trouble, it's just ridiculous. But I actually worked with a person on the Milwaukee Police Department who actually said that anybody that gets written up deserves some type of punishment. And I 100% lost 100% of my whatever little respect I had for this person, it was gone. To this day, I think about that and I think how many people got jammed up or jacked over because this knucklehead decided that everybody's guilty if they got written up. Because somebody asked you to say that to me. Well, why would the person lie? Are you kidding me? Like, what? Like, I remember somebody on command staff saying that to me. Well, why would they lie? So I'm lying automatically? Like, listen to what you're saying. Why would I have to justify somebody else making something up? Go talk to them. You asked me whether or not something happened, and I said no. Well, why would they lie? So I'm automatically the liar, and then I remember, subtle bigotry, low expectation. Got it. So you just expect me to just be wrong all the time. It's always my fault. And it wasn't until I got promoted and got my own command that I started to see that circular logic of, you know, white females taking care of white males taking care of white males, and they really didn't care about everybody else. And if you didn't work in a certain place, you got some love, but for the most part, you didn't. And they tried to destroy your career, tried to stab you in the back, said and did things that they tried to get you in trouble on multiple occasions, but didn't. So you got to watch your back. And it's unfortunate because these are the same people that have to watch your back. And they don't. But we're also talking about what? Less than 1%, 2% of a population of cops. The majority of them are there to do the greatest job that they possibly can and help people and live their life and raise their kids and families and do great things. And they do. It's just the knuckleheads we keep pointing out. I said, I was talking to somebody about the counties and how they report drugs and all that stuff. Well, I'm afraid to be in Milwaukee because, you know, I don't know how you live down there. All the crime. Well, it's more people in Milwaukee, so you have more crime. I said, but the place I wouldn't be is north of Highway 60. The place I wouldn't be is Ozaukee County. But then I asked the person, when's the last time, think about this, when's the last time you heard about a big drug bust in Milwaukee? When's the last time you heard about a big drug ring in Milwaukee? I'm not talking about the gang banging and all that stuff. I'm talking about the big drug ring. It's in Ozaukee and Washington and Greene and all those other counties. Why is that? I wonder why that is. I find that amazing that all those issues. And then they realize, oh, they don't have to come to Milwaukee to get drugs. They got them up there.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is a number for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You can accomplish a lot of stuff you can do in 6 years. Two times two is four, times two is eight. So I'd have been wrong. It would only take 6 years. What can you do in 6 years? What are some of the things? 3 and 3. What can you do? 3 and 3. What takes 3 years to do? Maybe get a master's degree? Well, you can get 2. I don't know. You can get a bachelor's degree, a master's, and a PhD in 6 years, I think. Depends on what the degree is. It really doesn't matter. You can take up to 6 years to pay off your brand new Pella windows and doors as well at 0% interest. 10-year warranty is always included, so your windows and your doors are secure for years to come. Certain restrictions apply. Offer ends March 31st of 2025, so set your free in-home consultation today. Go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. Makes you sad for that. 6 years. What can you get done in 6 years? What things take 6 years to do? Can't think of anything. Interesting. There are so many things in the news that I love to use y'all word that trigger me. But see, if I say something about it, they'll be like, oh, well, that's just mean. You're insensitive. Yes, I am. There are some things I'm insensitive about because I had to what? I had to bite the bullet and soldier through all that junk because I had to go to work every day. So I'm waiting to hear back Susan Crawford, State Supreme Court, and I'm waiting to hear back from Brad Schimmel. Hopefully I can have one or both of them on next week. Whoever calls first gets in first. Whoever follows up gets in. And I want to get them in and talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court race. I have my misgivings with both of them. And so I want to air out that grievance. And I have one question. And I think it's fair. I think it's equitable. I'm going to use diversity, equity, and inclusion on both of them. How's that? I'm going to be equitable. I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be inclusive. So there you go. Seriously. The caller said, good doc, your comments about the young lady with Colombian ancestry, she's not Colombian, she's half Colombian, half white, playing Snow White, reminds me of Garrett Morris in the movie Who's Your Caddy? Garrett asks a racist white country club member, why can't a black man be Captain Crunch? I vaguely remember that. I don't vaguely remember it being that funny, but I vaguely remember that movie, Who's Your Caddy? I can also see why that will bother somebody too. I'm just saying. Dr. Kim, make sure you log out. That's a weird thing. That's weird. Why are you telling me to log out? RC said, I've seen stories on firefighters stealing from houses during fires. I thought that was wild. Corruption can be everywhere. That's a crime. That's not corruption. Like, corruption is, you know, they're corrupt. They're stealing a little money off the top of. No. A crime is like you just broke in and did it. I'm just saying. You just broke in and did it. No, they're not. They're both crimes. I get it. Must be in Illinois. Yes, I have started teasing about Illinois because some of my friends and some of my students and have started telling me about some of the laws in Illinois and some of the things that they're doing. And I was like, wait, you're gonna what? And so and I'm trying to find the story because when I first read it, It didn't make any sense to me, but then I read it closer and I went, okay. So let me see if I can find this story because it kind of made me think about what exactly was happening. And it was a story about Governor Evers. Let me see if I can go to the one place I think it is. Do, 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 do. All right. Looking there, looking there. Did they remove the story? Okay, here it is. All right, I found it. Luckily, before we had to go to break. So, JS Online, Laura Schulte wrote a story. Here's some of the key points. One-time vehicle title fees, right? So when you come in, you pay a title fee, and then you just get a copy of your title or you transfer the title or do whatever. Normally pay during the purchase of a new vehicle. Well, they want to increase it, and the governor says the increased fee will generate $282 million for transportation improvements over 2 years. Republicans are unlikely to approve the increases as part of the state budget, calling the proposal just another terrible idea. Governor Tony Evers recommended increasing the vehicle title fee by more than 70%. So it's not on everybody when you register your car every year, which is going up incrementally. It's when you buy a brand new car and it's titled to you. He wants the price to go up on that. So in his proposed biennial budget, Evers recommended raising the fee by $120 from $164.50 to $284.50. According to estimations in the proposal document, that price jump would raise nearly $120.4 million in 2026 and $160.2 million in 2027. The money would be used to support the repair and development of Wisconsin roadway. Do we have enough roadways to need $250 million to fix it? Vehicle title fees are, of course, paid once when someone purchases a new vehicle, are normally lumped in with the purchase of the car, and it doesn't have to be paid again. You should never lump it in the purchase of a car because that's just interest that people can get off of you. Anyway, along with the title fee, he suggested raising the driver's license renewal fee by $8.50 from $24 to $32.50. That would raise $3.2 million in 2026 and $4.3 million in 2027. Money generated would support roads and bridges in addition to air, rail, public transit, harbors, and bicycle and pedestrian facilities. DOT says the increase in Wisconsin fees would be a bargain for owning a vehicle compared to neighboring states. For example, according to the agency, it would cost $361 in fees and taxes to own a Ford F-110 truck or similar model. In Minnesota, it's $966. Illinois, $941. And in Michigan, $663. A Honda CR-V or similar model, Wisconsin taxes and fees would be $199 compared to $615 in Minnesota, $493 in Illinois, and $328 in Michigan. That is not a reason to do something. Well, ours will still be cheaper. What? Makes no difference. So we need to come up with some better ways to generate revenue. And we need to stop people from driving like fools and tearing up the road. So if you want something different, right? If you want a car that's over a certain amount of years old and you want it vintage, charge more for those plates. You want vanity plates, charge more. You want butter plates and bucks plates and blackout themes and whatever kind of theme you want other than that regular plate, you should pay for it. That's just me. That's just me. And so you say the tariffs are going to drive up the cost of gas and hurt farmers and all that, and then you jack up prices that are going to hurt people. And who are you going to blame for that? Who are you going to blame? It costs too much money. It costs way too much. It costs too much money to live. Now, granted, Wisconsin is a much cheaper state than a lot of other states. It is. It's a lot cheaper. But at some point, we got to put an end to it and we have to figure out new ways to raise money. We really do. It's starting to get ridiculous. It's starting to get, yeah, ridiculous.
Say it again.
And so, okay. So it just, I don't know. We got to find new ways to raise revenue. I'm trying to think of some ways. Oh, wait, I know. Raise those things, lower taxes, right? Because we got how many, what, like $6 billion sitting in? Yeah. And we don't want to give people back their money. You know, giving the extra money back, they could actually pay for the increase of a new car. That's just me. We could actually pay. We could pay for a new car. Just give me my money back. I wonder how much that would be in the state if we had $6 billion and gave away and gave back all the money. I wonder what that would look like. How many people in Wisconsin? It's only 5.9 million people in Wisconsin. So if you got how many billion dollars and you just divided it and gave everybody, not just tax, because taxpayers are significantly less. So if you think about how many taxpayers, right? If you think about how many taxpayers, you're talking, you know, not a lot. Nowhere near that millions of people, near 5 million people. So you could get a nice chunk of change back. I'm just saying. Nice chunk of change. Not.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yeah. Interesting. Another one of those stories I didn't get back to. There's a bill in Illinois that wants to change homeschooling. The only specific requirement for homeschooling is that certain subject areas be taught. Required subjects include some, but the bill would change homeschooling across America. It would actually change homeschooling and make it difficult so that teachers can take over some of it. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. The Analysis Podcast is coming up at 6 o'clock, so make sure you hang around for the best right here on 101.7 The Truth. I want to say thank you to DJ Brother Z. Appreciate you.
All right, Dr. Ken, for 46, let's get it.
All right. God bless. Take care. Hey, y'all. I'll see you on Monday. Taking a couple days off. Relax. Hang out. Get some stuff done. I'm out.